Hello and welcome into the SoRare Data Show. I am Andrew Laird. You can find me as Lairdino on SoRare. Today we talk about what to do when there's nothing to do. I think that's exactly what the title was. Happy Friday to everyone who is here live. Looks like we got Bob Franklin, Johannatin. I can't join the stream live, but I have an answer. Scout for the upcoming international break. That's a good one. And then SoRare Malta, what every good man would do, sit on the sofa scratching your balls until your wife moans at you to do something. So with that great bit of advice, congratulations to the three of you on making the podium today. Brendan, what's up? Thanks for coming in. It's not a name I'm familiar with. So if you're new here, welcome. And if you're always here, but you're just a little, I was going to say lurker, but I forget who, Mike, what was the better word that you had for lurker? But anyway, hoping for a few good final weekends of the European leagues. Scott Warren came in, let's see, what time was that? 5 minutes before the start, lost the podium, that's correct. Mike Bassin, it's Friday, it's 5 o'clock, it's Laird Guacamole Show. We're not doing the guacamole show today. We can't do pineapple and guacamole in 1 week. It's just, I don't think you guys could handle it. Shaforko, what's up? Nixon, the answer to your question, or any question for that matter, is to just buy more cards. It's possible. Surface, good morning, thanks for coming in. Shaforko says play MLB. Yeah. Kev heard, when there's nothing to do, watch SoRare Data shows, of course. But like, actually, I would argue that's something to do. That's not nothing. We have to do that. Fabian, what's up? Alex, surely the answer to the question is go outside. The weather is lovely. I'm off to the pub shortly for that first pint of cider of the English summer. It's awful here. It basically feels like January. It's not really that cold, but it's poor wind. We had a beautiful week and it's terrible here today. So there's that. Sora Holland, good evening. Alex Wilson, also Rami is benched. I took Rami out of all my lineups thanks this morning, thanks to the SoRare Scandinavia Discord. It's really something to have a card that you have in three scarcities and they're all in your best lineup of those scarcities and then having to take them out and figure out what to do. Skazmo, hello. Stefan, what's up? Alex said you plan for the Nations League. Ugh. Ugh. Brendan, haven't been in a live stream for a while due to work, been catching up on the past broadcast. Well, you're here live, so thank you. Thank you for all that. Serfilo, what's up? Excited for the Continental Knights rewards. I bet you are. I think I snuck a box. I definitely snuck a box in for the rare ones. I don't know if I got in to the top, whatever you had to for the super rare. I'm not even going to look because I was actually just telling Surf how much I hate talking about my own lineups. And so there's that. I wanted to talk today about kind of this upcoming time because we have never really had a time like this on SoRare, which sounds weird because SoRare has existed for a while. And it also feels weird because it seems like every day we're like, this has never happened in SoRare, but this particular period coming up, and we're kind of in it right now, is unseen in the history of SoRare. And so basically what happens this time of year a lot, and this is in good years and bad years, but we generally see card prices for European players go down. And this is no surprise to anybody who's been in the game for a while, because what happens is people who have European heavy galleries will be like, all right, the end of the season's coming. I can just kind of relax over the summer. And when the European seasons come back, I'll be happy again. But SoRare is too fun. And so what you really end up doing is getting rid of some of those European cards to get like MLS or J-League or K-League or Liga MX or Argentina or Brazil, or whoever plays in the summer. Norway, of course. And you're like, all right, let me play. And so basically what happens is everyone wants to get out of the European card, so those prices go down, and then all the summer league players go up. And the up for those players is probably not as up this year for classic cards, which is part of where I'm going with this. But I'm surprised at the number of people who have told me, just in conversation, that they are doing nothing right now. and that they're holding their ETH balance or cash balance, however you play, specifically in anticipation of spending money for in-season cards when the new European leagues start. And now this isn't like, this is not like a breakthrough or some surprise, but we've never had a summer like this where we know you will need in-season cards to compete for cash or ETH come August, July even. And I think that there are going to be more people who are more disciplined about holding on to that cash or ETH balance until that comes. And we all know that those cards are going to be very expensive, but enough people will want them and they're saving their money now in order to do it. And it's kind of it leaves us in this weird spot because previously, if you were somebody who was like, I'll get rid of some of my European cards, then you kind of take the time to figure out which European cards you want to get rid of, then figure out which summer league teams or players that you want to get. And there was just more so rare to do. And so you took that time to, you know, scout a little more, maybe you get into some leagues that you don't normally know. And if you are somebody who wants to play these cash competitions and feel like it's necessary to build up these balances, the need for scouting now in order to play over the summer is gone. And that's not to say that you shouldn't be doing work now to figure out like which players you want in, you know, in for the next season. But there's a ton of player movement that can happen. Players that you want or that you think you want may move, or other players can move into their team, and then all of a sudden the role that they play is a little different. And so it's almost like you want to be proactive and you want to get ahead, but there are just so many question marks, particularly with the transfer window, not even just for the players that you're looking for, but everyone else that could affect it. And so it does feel like the best advice right now is to not do anything. If you're somebody who wants to focus on the new season and in-season cards, or if there's a focus, it's like, are there any classic cards I should sell in order to fund those cards? And so what do we do if you're in that situation, and do you just wait? And I don't know. Ryan said there are two options: start a podcast or start a Road to Glory. I guess so. Surfield says preseason is the time to nerd out, monitor preseason like mad. But even preseason, like the current season's still going on. And so many people be like, oh wait, we have Euros and we have Copa America and we have the Olympics. Yes, we have them, but the percentage of people who can positively return on their gallery with those competitions is so small that I ignore them. I mean, if I have lineups, I'll do it, and I'm sure I'll degen into something, but there's like zero part of me that wants anything to do with, oh, this guy plays for X country and they play, you know, ZY and P. And I just don't want to go through that process. And I don't feel like the prizes, I think the top end prizes would be great. They'll be good. But I think for the most part, there are going to be a lot of people who make a lot of moves for these summer competitions and it just won't work out. And maybe you're better off not doing anything. Carol said, typically I would buy European cards at the beginning of June as a safe investment. Now with in-season things going on, I'm not so sure. And I think that's exactly what a lot of people are considering right now. And I continue to mostly focus on Classic. And I actually did buy some cards recently for in-season contender over the summer. I already am pretty sure it's a mistake, but I'm going to try it. But generally, I'm looking at classic cards, and are there classic cards that I think will help me in the fall? Because they're getting like really cheap now. And that's not to say they won't be cheaper later. I don't know. I who knows? Trying to become like, trying to be the absolute cheapest buy is like, it's fruitless. I mean, somebody will be the cheapest, but you'll lose out on opportunities there. So there's a lot of cards that I'm like, wow, that's starting to become cheap enough that I would want to buy that now in preparation for the European season and having nothing to do with in season, at least at the start. Mike said it's the first time people genuinely have to start again, which I think is a really interesting point. Like you can really look at it that way of even within your gallery, let me buy these specific cards and see if I can yield from them instead of here's my whole gallery. Let's hope that sometime in the next 20 years, it's higher than it is now. And by 20 years, I mean 3 days, because that's the patience that we all have. Jakun, is Maxime still holding on his ETH balance or has he withdrawn? I have no idea. I think it's possible he could have withdrawn and also held his ETH balance, but I don't know. I don't know. Mike said major tournaments globally throughout the summer means huge chance of unforeseen transfers or long-term injuries. Yeah, they absolutely add to the, I mean, obviously we can win from these, but like there's more possibility that something bad can happen. Somebody can get hurt or somebody has a huge tournament, whichever tournament they're playing in. And all of a sudden clubs are like, then Chelsea just buys them. Chani, what's up? Congrats on the move. I have so much content to watch from Sewer Data now that I've settled in a new place. Yeah, I'm glad to hear everything went well once you finally left. So you had some visa and travel issues, but yeah, what's up, Chani? Andre said Euros should be big, right? Who knows? Mike said, was there going to be a Leagues Cup special weekly? I don't think so, but I would imagine that they will have, oh, I'm sorry, Leagues Cup special weekly. So I think they'll have a special weekly. I don't think they'll have one of these like 3 week cash competitions or whatever. I think that's not happening, but well, I don't want to say that's not happening. I don't expect that for Leagues Cup. Simo, what's up? Thanks for coming in. Alex said, I'm kind of switching off mentally, not buying much. Taking a break for me is kind of overdue and I look forward to other activities. So I think that will be a kind of a popular mindset for now. I think Harry actually said it on the deadline stream today with Quinny that he's just like, he's ready for the European season to be over. And he does have like a couple, you know, plenty of MLS cards and stuff, but I think there is generally a thought over the summer that things are just a little easier. You don't quite have so many cards that you have to deal with if you're somebody who's more European based, which most users are. This is Surfula's time to shine, of course. But speaking of which, Surfula said, I sort of feel like playing all year round is sort of required now. And I say that as the most loyal single region player probably in existence. So I don't know if it's required, but I know what you're on. I see what you're saying. But I think that there are plenty of people who are perfectly content looking at the summer and being like, oh, if I have cards that are playing in Euros or Copa America, like my European cards, if they're playing, that's great. I'll play. Like, it doesn't cost us anything extra to play as long as we're using the cards that we have. So I do think that there's an opportunity to slow down. Mike said the time to not want to win in-season Euro cards felt like it started. Yeah, it does feel that way. You're right. With the whole, like, if you're in, well, really any of the competitions, because they all have European cards. But obviously, like, champion, you're guaranteed a European card. But you're right. Like, when you're in Challengers and you win a Eredivisie, and you're just like, ugh, all right. Alex said, Brazil announced their Copa America squad. I did see that was coming out. I actually thought it was coming out tomorrow. So how about that? Soramalto said, if you're not playing, you're not winning. I returned over 500 euros already from K-League teams. Not playing is too much FOMO. That is really good. Wow. Well done. Nixon said, I bought rare J-League cards for the special and then summer utility prize money from the K-League. Yeah. I mean, there is money to win this summer. It's just a matter of whether you want to go through the process of getting the cards required to do it. And I thought I'm going to try while also probably avoiding the K League and J League. But Alex said, all I know is that Ryan Mira will start for the Red Bulls when Cornell is away. This excites me, maybe. Yeah, I don't, I wouldn't say he's guaranteed, right? Don't they have another kid? Braden, what's up? So Rare Soul, K League cards to smash contender with the J League special running. I mean, there's Argentina, Liga MX. They're not the only ones. How many like actual smashers are there in the K League? Everybody always talks about YBG. Let's find out. What do we got here? Do we have it under here? Oh, we do. Let's go. All right. So based on L15, of course it's Key. But Key is the highest at 65.6 fantasy points per game. Sora Soul said there were zero smashers, and Scott Warren says 12. Server said there's some good goalkeepers, but like, and Nixon says Kim Tae-hwan's the only one you need, which who I have him right here. Like, I'm not going to sit here and look at these guys and be like, oh, yeah, he is good. But, like, yeah, it doesn't seem like if you wanted to compete in the summer that you need many K-League guys. That's crazy that Key is tops at, on an L15 at 65. And Samuel Gustafsson from Urawa is the only one over, oh, no, Lucas Fernandez at 65.1. Huh. So Rousseau said the new data provider killed so many good players. It's disappointing how different the scoring is between Opta and B-Pro. B-Pro is the K-League data provider, because there's like basic things that are very different, particularly duels one. The K-League Opta is as solid as the reffing. I don't know anything about K-League reffing, but I've never seen anyone talk about a league and being like, the reffing's really good. Sora Malta says you just need the Olsen stack. Servulus said the return of Hoyos and Velasquez stacked to ruin the K-League party and contender. I mean, it's Norway. I don't know why you guys are ignoring Norway. Glenn said the K-League special wrote me in to buy some new players. First time in a minute I have deposited. Way to be, way to keep us going. Nixon said, Gustafsson is too good, has way too much supply. What's he up to now? Is he still at 3 rare cards? He is. Oh, 33 limiteds. I guess the ratio makes sense. But this is just shambolic. Literally shambolic. Acer? I'm not sure. You can win many using new season or preparing your classic teams for next season. If you invest decent money in Asori, I think that improve your classic team to win new season cards is better. So I think the, when Glenn said, I spent money on Cecina just for Hoodwink to tell me he's likely not starting. And Tuggy, what's up? Thanks for coming in. All of the talk from people also of the, all the current in-season cards are going to move to classic and it's going to be so much harder. I find really funny because it's what happens every year. It's just that we're going to have this rush of them now instead of kind of the slow trickle of all of the new cards coming into classic. But like, we've always played classic. That's all this was. And so, yeah. And Frederick Wright, some absolute smashers in Norway. There's like a handful. There's really not that many, but thankfully you don't even need that many. I might get a few more. Really double down. Triple down on Norway. The funny thing is that the best Norway cards aren't even the cards of the single minted team that we have from Norway. They do have some good scorers so far, but Rosenborg's like not where you're going to go. Which is one of those things that I really would have no knowledge of without So Rare. Like how I was mentioning Koki Makita and Yuya Oki playing together. It'll be really, oh man, I was just about to say this phrase that I absolutely hate people use. It'll be interesting to see. But there will be people who are very disciplined and save their money for these, for the new in-season competitions for the 2024-25 European season. And there are going to be people who saved all their money and then don't spend it because they're just like, oh, these prices are way too high. And we've talked about it over and over again, but it really all comes down to what So Rare are going to do in terms of card distribution early in the season and how many cards are going to be available. And as much as So Rare don't think that they affect the market as much as they do, that will be the biggest thing that they do. Like, there is a gigantic difference between auctioning or instant selling or however 50 rare cards in the first month or 12, or if you're Samuel Gustafson three months. When did his first one come out? First rare. Oh, about a month ago. Okay. That's not so long. Oops. Sorry. I don't know why I keep harping on this, but it's annoying to me. When was the first? I can't even pull it up. Oh, well. But we'll see. Glenn says, do you think we will see a huge bump in cash prizes for the in-season once the thresholds completely disappear? I don't, actually. I think we'll see an increase from what we have now. I don't think it's going to be that much bigger. But you have to remember that they're introducing two new cash competitions with the Bundesliga and La Liga, and they have to fully fund that. And so it's not like there's all this money that is being won right now that's being moved. It's really not that much. Like threshold, I mean, it's a lot, but not nearly as much as it used to be. But I don't see them bumping them significantly, particularly early in the season, but I could be wrong. Ricomon said, could be worse. There was one random Diamante card. Yeah, so I actually own a card from my Midgerland collection of a guy who had one card, but he like got his card minted, went out on loan, and then that was it. He never got another one. And the worst part is that it was the 2 of 1,000. Ryan said, are we going to have Bundesliga and La Liga Classic or just in-season with cash? We'll have both, Classic and in-season. Royce said, where do I claim rewards for projected lineups? You don't claim them. We will send them to you, but it's a very manual process with So Rare right now. So I believe I think the March ones still have to go out. I guess April also. Well, we're working on it. We're working on it. Nixon said, I wanted Undua for my Servette stack, and he has an entire two rares. Yeah, so it's funny that you bring that up, and I'm going to do exactly, who is this guy on Dua? There he is, Gael. You want this card? I'm just kidding. I mean, you do you. One of the things that I've been doing, which anyone who watches this is no surprise, but like a lot of the Denmark non-Midgerland cards that I have in Norway are players who are not minted anymore. So the kind of what I feel like is a bit of an advantage, even though it's not really, is that when this rush of new in-season cards now comes to Classic, not many of those cards will come over, if any, because all of them are Classics already. Excuse me. So like Håkon Evjen doesn't have any new season cards right now. And so the population of his cards in Classic competitions right now is basically what it will be once all of the current in-season cards come in. So it's really not that much of a difference. And I used to think that didn't matter. If you had somebody who wasn't minted that much, Dennis Vavro is a great example. And everyone's like, oh, when he has a monster score, not everyone else, you know, I'm like one of the only ones who can have that score. And it's like, well, you're one of the only ones who can have that score from Vavro. But like in All-Star, there are so many other players who could match that score. But now that we're moving down into champions and contenders and challengers, the number of players who could match that score is much lower. And so I do think it's starting to matter. Let me rephrase. I'm more open to it mattering now than I did previously, but I still don't really know. Nanzo said, saving to play in season without having a full complement of cards to play multi-entry classic seems like a mistake. So I agree with that. But I think, so I don't necessarily want to say that people are selling like all their cards to play in season, but they're kind of looking at all the extras that they have, maybe cards they don't use that much. And like those are the ones that they want to get rid of, or they're just not spending now. And you know, they'll get their thresholds or their current in-season cash and they'll just hold it instead of trying to buy more for the new season. Nanzo says this as he's like, Nanzo, did you just win everything in the K-League unique special? I didn't really follow that because I don't play it at all, but I certainly wasn't playing any unique. Lilypad Gaming, that's a new one for me. Those that can wail when new season cards drop should clean up the cash for the first few weeks, but everyone will catch up eventually. So like, I think that's right. I think that's the way I'm thinking of it, that that bigger budgets will just vacuum up all the new season cards to start. But who knows if the prize pools will be that big at the beginning, because if they're not, then there's almost like not an incentive to overpay. But again, if there are 50 rares available on day one instead of five, like that's very different. Skater Perez, what's up? Hey, on my left, first live video in a while. I left SoRare and now I'm back. Let's go. Was here when an injured Bill Hamid was worth $800. Woof. Woof. Well, if you loved it at 800, imagine what you can, how much is a Bill Hamid rare card now? If anybody has paid recently more than $8, I'm going to be furious, as if it matters. All right, the floor is four. Somebody paid $2.20 2 weeks ago for a rare Bill Hamid. Some sort of collectible item. Surely this is like fraud, right? $69 for Bill Hamid. We didn't really mean to do that. Contenders Master. Oof. Yikes. Anyway, welcome back. Welcome back. Curious why you came back. You're going to be a whale if you sold up in those days. Well, it depends which days. Depends on the day. But yeah, I feel like we're going to see a lot of people off to the side and maybe not a lot of market movement, which usually means then prices go down. But we'll see. Nanzo said, I won a bit, but I have a good collection of K-League cards to play in-season contender unique until the end of the year. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the point of these kind of extra introductory competitions, that, you know, you get your cash infusion at the beginning, but then you have the whole rest of the season in order to play. So that's great. John Andrews, what's up? Glenn said, we all stuck around and watched our life savings wilt away. I hope you didn't put your life savings in SoRare. But I mean, teach their own. I'm not a financial advisor. I think the new season champion cards, I think, will be absurd. And it was with Peter on Wednesday, and he kind of thought the same thing. Like, I don't see, even if the prize pools were unchanged and like what we see now is what we will have in terms of like the kind of the top level prizes, I think the prices, yeah, will just be crazy, because we really haven't had this situation where you're buying a card and you have like an entire season of utility. In terms of the European cards, we did have this. Well, even MLS J League and K League started late too. So we'll see. We'll see. Rico Mon says, I don't want to think about how much I will spend on Olives new season cards. So that's the problem, though, unless you're a collector. But like, you should think about that.
Because otherwise you're going to be these angry people in January and February being like, I can't believe I spent so much money on these Alavest cards and I haven't gotten anything back. Kerry said, was very successful in the new So Rare, made $500 from a $2,500 gallery, limited and contender rare. But I had many in-season cards and the premium was acceptable. Right now, I can't decide when I'll enter in-season and what premium I'll accept. Yeah, I think that's fair. So the one thing that I have considered doing, which I believe is peak stupidity, which is why I haven't done it yet, but building like rare collections now. Like I was going to build a duplicate Midgeland collection of currency, like current new season cards, because there's really no new season premium. But obviously the XP is going to be way lower than the in-season cards that come out in the fall or, you know, August. But also they'll be in new season competitions. I don't know. It's that basically what's the appropriate discount for an XP disadvantage? And if you're going to build a whole collection, then theoretically you can make up that XP disadvantage. But honestly, the biggest risk, I mean, there are plenty of risks. One of the risks that I keep thinking of is starting it and then having them just stop selling the cards. Because like, who wants to buy new season cards when the season's over? And then it's like, man, well, what do I do now? Skitter Press says, we'll never forget Nick Lima was my first rare. I'm back because I like the progression style changes and not having to play the whales every week, and I can finally own a cardless heel. Those are great reasons. Lastly, I like where they are even going with rivals. You can do something every day, whereas before I would only get on to set my lineups. I've left DFS and feel way better about that now. I just love to hear that. Leaving DFS was wonderful for me. But it's not for everyone, playing or leaving. I could really use a good score from Carlos Heel this week. Anyway. Mike Basson said, is the XP premium the new U23 premium? So, you know, it's not like we're paying. So, like, there was always the 5% new season bonus. But I don't think anybody is buying new season cards for a 5% XP bonus anymore. Like they're buying them to play in season competitions. And so maybe the XP, it's really the XP that you're fighting are the old cards that are all at level 20 now. Belisarius, I'm 100% champ collection. Hoping new season cards will get average price up a lot so I can sell half of my gallery for increased average prices. Yeah, it'll be fun to see kind of if the separation price-wise between old season and new season stays as big as it is, as we saw it. Like if it's 2x, 3x, 4, like who knows? And so, yeah. Nixon said, I hadn't heard of DFS until I joined So Rare, except for it being the name of a furniture store, so I was quite confused. Yes, Daily Fantasy Sports, which you probably know now, but for those who didn't. Andre, could you explain training teams? Do they get XP even if no one plays? Yes. If nobody plays in your training lineup, they will all get 150 experience points in that game week. If anyone plays and scores positively, then you'll get more than that. But there's a whole formula and nobody actually cares what the formula is or if we even get the XP, to be honest. Sormalto says, I want to play Classic next season, hoping for some bargains on auctions over the next 6 weeks as people aren't interested in spending. So that's sort of how I've been thinking of it recently. And I realize that goes counter to what I was just saying about buying cards of players who are no longer minted. But this is the cheapest these cards will be, partially because the utility is basically nil. I mean, we get two or three more weeks if you're playing in season and if you're not, but you're still kind of like you're getting an in-season card. It's, I don't know. But we're getting to the point now where you should probably be looking at XP more than season for the European cards. Bar Rosenberg. Rosenborg, excuse me. So that's sort of the tricky one. Like I have what I think is a plan that's not really a plan. So I don't really know what I'm not here to tell you what to do, but I think what do we do now is really figuring out what you want to do in July and August. And I am curious to see if we'll have more league specific competitions. Guy mentioned it on, maybe it was Momo, on the Sora Ramble last week that they have no intention of reducing the number of in-season cards you need for those regular competitions, but they didn't really indicate if we're going to have like Eredivisie only competitions to start, like we have like the K-League special and the J-League special and the MLS. Like those are, they do those because they're full leagues that they have licenses with. And so they have full licenses of the Jupiler League, Eredivisie, whatever the Croatian one is called. I don't know what HNL stands for. So like full leagues like that, will we get, you know, these three game week, $150,000 prize pool competitions, or they just say, no, we're in season. Let's just jam away. Andre said, you also need to hold the cards 3 months to get the extra collection bonus. I mean, you don't have to. So if you buy very late, you won't have the start of the season. You can get to 750 points without waiting 90 days, but you need to buy them all in auction or win them, like, or instant buy. Like you need to be first owner and you'll get there. Server said, from my 5 years on the platform, I've found it more effective to have a pot of general money ready than a specific plan of acquisition. It's too unpredictable to know who, when, how much with new cards. So I think that's absolutely the right move. Holding on to a balance is really hard though. But yeah, I mean, obviously having more money is better than not. Mike said, now is the time to pick up cheap in-season cards for collection bonus boost. That's good advice. I like that. Nanzo says, playing America Asia over the summer will help inform my approach for the next European season and whether the new format works for me. So Nanzo, the only reason why I feel like this actually won't work in terms of trying to portray what will happen in the European season is there are just so many more people playing the European season. So you could think that you have a grasp of like what you're up against and you just really don't know, particularly with the hope that there are new players coming in that are willing to spend money on these new cards. You know, that marketing push is coming. So we'll see. But yeah, I think now is as good a time as ever to really figure out what you want to do in the fall. And by fall, I mean July, August, when the new seasons start. Because what you don't want to do is basically be left behind. Or you start to see the auctions and you're like, man, I thought it would cost this much, but it's only, you know, it's less. Maybe I will go in. And then you're like, oh, I have no cash balance. Do you want a deposit? Well, then, you know, that's stuff that really you should figure out right now. Peter, what's up? Thanks for coming in. Was just talking about you, actually, of course. But anyway, I thought Wednesday's show was phenomenal. Peter was on it. So if you guys haven't checked that out, highly, highly recommend it. And I finally did put the dashboard link in the description of that video. The title of that video is Visualizing SoRare. So go check that out. And Peter promises to update it every day. I'm just kidding. He didn't promise that at all. Mike said the Mbappe adverts, as he now has not to do until Euros. Yeah. Yeah, let's do it. Let's get him playing rivals against Nacho and John Nellis. That's what we all want. Carol said, will prize pools and contender challenger be significantly lower for in-season when Europe is gone? Surely. Surely. I think one of the gross misunderstandings when they announced all of this was the expectation that the prize pool would stay the same when like half the teams were gone. And it's just not how SoRare has ever done it. And they did eventually confirm that they will be smaller. I don't think we'll ever have like the formula of if there are X number of teams that are playing in the game week, then we should have I number of dollars in the prize pool. But yes, absolutely, they will be lower. Nanzo, I don't disagree that more intel is better, but I'm not sure how relevant it will be for as a whole. But I could be wrong. Happens all the time. Soramalto said there was an incredible amount of work that went into that dashboard. Hats off to Peters. Totally agree. And to be honest, I have no idea how much work goes into it, but it looks like a lot. And it's going to stay around the same for the Euro season. Yeah, it's fun to look at and really gives you an idea of what needs to be fixed on SoRare. And it does seem like they are trying to fix it. So I think that's a positive that we're moving in a direction where they... where it's almost like ideally, and particularly it's like I spent some time looking at Peter's dashboard of, and specifically what we were talking about on the show in terms of, you know, points required for specific card rewards and different tiers. And I've never been one to care about specific points required to win rewards. Like everybody always seems to reference that in like the concept builder that we have where it's like, oh, if you had these players, you know, they would have won cards in 50% of the game weeks they played together. So it must be good, even though like those matchups never happen again, literally. And so what the dashboard does do is gives you kind of a very clear view of the trends. And I would hope that what some of the dashboard shows is what SoRare are looking at in terms of, is it easier to win a better reward in Division 4 than it is in Division 2? And if so, let's correct it. And it did seem like the update that they announced moved to correct it a little bit. I don't know if we would have all corrected it the same way, but it really doesn't matter what we would have done because we don't run the game, SoRare do. And so ideally, at least they can see what the community is doing in response to what they have presented to us. And if it looks wrong, then they can say, all right, good. Well, all right. If too many people don't want to move to Division 1 and the whole point of our game is to move into Division 1, then what do we do to kind of encourage that progression? And at least the small changes that they've made so far are moving in the right direction. Whether it's enough, who knows? And kind of what we were saying on Wednesday, sometimes you just need more data. And that was actually a conversation that we had before we went live, and we were going to go back to it. And I get caught up in these streams, particularly with new people. And I was like basically riveted by everything Peter was saying. And so I just like totally lost track of time. But one of the things that we were talking about is time, and that in order to get better information, you need more data, and more data tends to come over time. And sometimes you don't always have a lot of time to make decisions, but like the most important thing that you can do when you're making big decisions like that is to kind of make sure that you have given whatever situation you're in, you know, their introductory prize pools or any change they made, give it enough time for people to adjust and figure out how it works, and then look at the data from there. And a lot of people are just impatient and don't want to wait in that time. But ultimately, that's like time is what you need in order to see if things are working or not. And not to say there aren't some things that they could do where right away we're just like, oh, this is awful, don't do that, and they change it. But yeah, sometimes you just need to work through things. And in the end, they could say, okay, we have enough data, this is not working, or this, we have enough data and it is working, or we need more data. And so we just need to give them that time. Tom said, so we're getting a mention on the official Prem Twitter account 15 minutes or so ago. I'm in some troubles reading the chat today. Is that just like at Premier League? Let's see. What do we got here? Are we rich yet? These players were the top scoring in April on SoRare. Build your team at prem.ge. Blah, blah, blah. Foden, Bruno, who is finally hurt. Ooh, good goal. Let's see who else we got. Cole Palmer, heard of him. 77 in April. I wonder, I guess they probably aren't going to show how much Bruno G. Whose unique is that? Pranksies? I hope you gave them credit for, or not credit, but, you know, permission. A little Sokka common. Do we think this, what do the comments say? Let's take a deep dive into the internet. Foden is good. Keep it up. I wonder if any of these people even know that it's a SoRare ad. That's about it. That's all I got. 33, 36, 43 million people. I don't like the top emoji here. That's weird. But yeah, there we go. Hold on. Let me go check my gallery value to make sure it's going up. Just kidding. I mean, that's good stuff. They do that with La Liga too. You think they did it today? Twitter.com/La Liga. Any chance that's going to work? Oh, it is. All right. Let's find some SoRare. Hashtag earn it on the pitch. Where is SoRare? Uh-oh, guys. Joao Felix won something? Get out of here. Player that, no, stop it. They do it with La Liga too. Do they show Ibar uniques? I don't know, but I don't see much. Not seeing much so. Oh, no. All right, whatever. Major NFT. Personally, your recent videos convinced me to fire sale super rare and get liquid for rare. That doesn't seem good. Why would you fire sale? But, you know, if that's what you want to do, that's cool. Sora Malta said they didn't even utilize the 3D-ness of the cards. Come on, Nicola, that's the biggest selling point. So the problem is that they're only 3D on SoRare. They just don't, just 2D everywhere else. Joao Felix won biggest asking price for a rare card on SoRare. To be honest, somebody has definitely listed their card for more than 100 ETH. Most loaned player. Ugh. So major NFT killed the super rare market. Anybody want to kill the rares? I'm just kidding. But it makes sense. I mean, you got to play where you want to play. Major NFT said, because it's not easy to sell super rares, and I honk, it's just going to get harder. And I think it's just going to get harder. Yeah. Oh, there you go. That's why I should read comments before I like put them on screen, but I don't. Why do you think super rare is getting harder though? So that's actually I guess it's all relative to the number of prizes, but like ultimately in the rush of cards from in season to classic. So I don't think he's sticking around, but let's at least just use him for a minute here. So there are 400 Joey Veerman limiteds and 78 rares for new season. So that means in Challenger Classic next season, 78. I mean, and of course you can still use like an old season in new season, but let's even say 50. 50 Joey Veerman rares are going to be in the Challenger Classic competitions. It's probably going to be more. And I would venture most are in Division 1 and 2. But in Super Rare, oh my God, he has 9. I mean, Super Rare is like 9. And so it doesn't feel like it's that dramatic, even though there are obviously like fewer prizes in Super Rare. But I'm surprised they're up to 9. Wow, look at that. Manzo, you don't have one of these? Come Anyway. Nanzo said, anyone listing Felix for under 100 ETH should be named and shamed. Totally agree. Totally agree. Like, people want to complain about the market, and then they have a card like that, and they're like, oh, give me $200 for it. I actually have no idea how much a Joe Felix is worth right now. I just said 200, and I was like, it's probably like 37. $73.81 is the floor price. Mike said, is that hot info? Veerman not transferring out of Challenger. It's kind of like a reverse jinx, though. Like, he's not going to go anywhere. And they're like, oh, welcome to Nottingham Forest. If he, you know, if they stay up. Major NFT says, I don't have the deep wallet to keep up with goalkeepers to be relevant. Hard to compete without really investing. Have you considered just really spending and not investing at all? Three goalkeepers are useless next season. Glenn, sweep the floor. Yeah, I'll sweep the floor on Joao Felix rares. How many are there? This is like a rookie card too. I would consider a jersey mint. But there are none. I have this version, 2020-21. I do like this, the 1918s. I think those are the oldest ones, right? Let me see here. Yeah. YNWA, of course. Peter says we need an ultra classic competition. I wish they did this to be like fully, like not all time, just like a special weekly where you get, so this is where I have a good idea, but it's not actually a good idea. But it's a special weekly where the older card you get, the more like XP it has or bonus it gets. And obviously if XP is included, like older cards probably have more XP. But yeah, like if the new season card has a 0% bonus, last year's card is 5%, 2 years ago is 10%, and you just keep going. And then all those old cards, like it's such a great way for So Rare to be like, let's really celebrate those who believe in our platform being a platform of collectibles, and reward those who have the oldest cards. Just once. We just want to celebrate collecting. Man, that is such a good idea. Let's do that. Thank you, Peter. What is up, Quinny? Coming in at the perfect time. Major NFT says, I'd rather play rare and limited. It's always about fun for me. It should always be about fun. I have 700 plus cards at this point. It's a lot of cards. Nanzo said, I sold the Veerman super rare I won, pretty sure at the top. But like, I mean, I don't care. But let's see. Like all-time top? A lot of money for cards like that. Anyway, do you think, where was this? Soramalto, do you think we'll see an increase in the amount of divisions if classic comps are oversaturated and get a lot of negative feedback? So I actually don't think the divisions are going to be the problem. It's going to be the rewards. And that sounds like it's the same thing, but it's really not. Because whether you have 10 divisions or five, like you still have a very finite number of rewards that you can give away in terms of cards. And Guy and Momo kind of hinted that they're going to have this like gameplay type reward now in reward boxes, or not now, but for next season. But ultimately, you're capped on the number of cards you can win. And right now, other than cash, there's no prize that's better than a card. And you could say a jersey, that's like, I guess, but they're just not giving those out all the time. And so the rewards are the problem, not the divisions. Peter, I was like such a staunch supporter of the over, like the older than 32 senior competition. And then they reduced it to age 30, which was like such an insult. But Now that's going to be what I am after. A special weekly that just celebrates old cards. Mike says I'd have 90% XP on most of mine. But see, that's good. Peter said, maybe if it was card held each year, you get 0.5. So I don't mind people buying old cards for this. Like, I don't think you should be penalized because you only recently decided to buy old cards. And so I think it should just be, yeah, all old cards. Like, whether you bought it yesterday, like holding cards, really what we want is people buy, like, actively looking to buy old cards, not buying them a long time ago and holding them, if that makes sense. I realize that like sounds similar, but it's just a way to like stimulate the market for all those old cards. And yes, I use the word stimulate instead of manipulate because I think those are different. Quinny said, I just bought an OG Kang and Lee to replace Wass in body and spirit. Quinny, where prices are going, you could buy a Wass too. I have two of them and I might buy a third one. The only thing that bums me out a little bit about my Wass cards is that they're different. They're different seasons. But now I'm like, man, maybe I should just have every season. Like, I have these two. Are those the only rares he has? Or does he have a different season? Oh, he's got these. That's right. Anyone selling? Ooh. At the floor. Let's go. Oh, not a Jersey Mint. Does anyone else just like look at Jersey Mints now? Just like, yeah, I'll take a Jersey Mint. $340. Might end up with another Daniel Wass card today. Like I said, sitting on balances is hard. You guys got anything else today? I'm not buying it. Peter, get out of here with your... I think I've said this before, so Peter's probably heard this, but I like strongly consider getting into uniques for Cap 240 whenever, a year ago, maybe not even. You can play it in rare. Nixon says old cards look really cool to me. Yeah, I agree. I mean, there are some cards that I bought just because they were old. Like I have a first season Vanaken. Like, I love this card. Got it at level 20. I have a Juni Ito from the same year. I think those are the two oldest cards I have. Like this one. Also level 20. My God, that price. I bet you'll see that I bought near a peak. Did it really go? Oh, I did. Yeah. So he started crashing because there were links to Leicester. And everyone was like, oh, that's not going to be good. Even though it surely would have been championship. No. Like, why would that be bad? Maybe Leicester were still in the Prem. Do they have one more year in the Prem? Yeah, they must have. Okay. And then it was like, oh, no, he's not going to Leicester. And everyone was like, oh, thank God. He's going to stay at Genk. And then very much did not stay at Genk. He smashed at Genk. This is the card I thought I was buying. And this is the card I bought. Decent. But I just didn't want a champion card. Server said, next season I hope to hit a special milestone. 100 rewards earned with my first year of Vanaken Super Rare. That's wild. 100. That's pretty cool, Surface. You know what you should do? You're at 87 already. So if you wanted to cheat a little bit, Surface, I don't want to confuse him with Surfula, you should just enter this in like D5 limited competitions this summer. God, that's so many cards. $48,000. Oh, you want a Daniel Wass? You still have that card? Oh, you sold it. Is that when you learned you can't buy Pasqua? That's a good one. That's a good one. What else you got in here, Surf? Let's see. Delict Super Rare, Guillerme. Ooh, Dino Hodic, RIP. Dries Mertens, Berrios. Teo Banganda, Big Paul. Junior Alonso, Super Rare. That's fun. Let's see. Freddie, Pavard, Joe Hart. Some solid ones. I wasn't even looking to see where you entered, mostly Challenger and All-Star. What's the most recent? Something named Will Dennis. He's a goalie, right? Yeah. Yeah, that's cool, Surf. Good luck. Good luck. I think my highest... So I'm like, I was a little bummed, but yeah, my Lionel Messi Limited is now my winningest card. It's 140. I think it just passed Franco Armani. Quick question. What's a good rewards winning lineup percentage? I'm around 7%. I don't think mine's at 14%, but I think it's a terrible metric. And I really wish we never showed it because I throw enough, the number of lineups that I play are not the number of cards I expect to win. So I don't need it. Ryan Walter said the OG Vandevoort card is awesome. I wish there was a limited of that card. So actually I think the better ones are the Candid. I think the Candid Vandevoort is way better. This one. So there was, I guess, that season, 2020-21, where they didn't have his picture for the longest time. And finally, I think they were like, all right, screw it. We'll just use one. And they did. But yeah, that's a cool card. I almost bought, I had a Vandevoort for a while. I wanted this one so badly. And I ended up with one of these because it was just before game week started. I had sold a Justin Bylow. And I went to buy a Vandevoort, and this was the only one available. Not this specific one, but this year, 2021-22. And it was just always like, oh, this is the worst one. Like, these two are cool. And then I really wanted this one, but it's not. Wasn't meant to be. Ryan said, yeah, I thought that was the OG one. I didn't realize that was his third mint. Yeah, Vandevoort has 321 rare cards on the platform, which is a lot for a kid who's 22 and is 2023, U23 until 2026. Wow. Did he have a proper pose card as well or just the angle? That's a good question. So they came out late in the season is the problem. And so I bet these are the only ones he had. Yeah, so they got 50. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, they did get a lot, 72 out. That's shocking. I actually had no idea where that many. The unique is looks like that. Hold on. Maybe I just remembered this wrong. No. Yeah, so the first one, the one of 100, came out April of 21. So it was April, and then the last one, April 21, and the last one was August. So in 4 months, they blasted out how many of these? 72 rares, where most of the season, the season was over. Yeah. How many rare cards does Vandevoort have by the time he retired? I mean, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. Carol with the So Rare Down Under shout out here. Good on you, So Rare. I mean, in fairness, it was a card that a lot of people wanted. He was an elite, well, I don't even know if he was that good. But he was a super young U23 goalie back when U23 mattered, who had years of utility, I don't think the Leipzig thing had been announced yet, but like he's good, but he's a goalie. So like he's all over the place. But yeah. That's right, Peter, U21, excuse me. Peter and I were just joking the other day because the API Sober still lists U23 as under 21, which is what it used to be before they changed it to U23. That was before my time on Sober, though. Surface probably remembers when it was U21. And by remember, I mean played it. Nixon says some cards are great. Bum Sue of Incheon showing off his gloves like a kid at Christmas. Yep, yep. I think Andy made that joke the other day. Yesterday, last week. Sora Malta said, I missed the Dead Legends stream the other day. They were not Dead Legends. But maybe look back at my earliest transactions and found Iwanami and Kino, who didn't get a mention in the stream. I don't even remember who they are. Or I don't know who they are. Iwanami? Takuya Iwanami. Was this guy good? Let's find out. I mean, he's fine. And Kino? Who's that? Oh, this guy. Yeah. I didn't think he was ever good either. Oh, how about that? A couple hundos? All right. All right. I see you, Sorare Malta. All right. We are in the 67th minute. Seems like a lot, but it's Friday. We got nothing to do. But, man, I was just about to say, I'm just going to go outside and go for a walk, but it just looks awful outside. Surf said it wasn't U21 for very long. Oh, all right. That's Surface who said that. Excuse me. I got to get better at that. People are going to be very confused thinking Surface to air missile is the same as Surfula, and boy. I mean, they're just not, actually. That's all. I had nothing more to say on that. Oh, there are also new competitions on MLB. Oh, now I have to read stuff. Anyway. Everyone keeps saying it's nice been outside. It's nice where they are. I mean, it was nice here all week. It's just not nice today. And Lerdito has a football match tonight, possibly in the rain. Is just wonderful. All right. I got nothing else. We are now, 69th minute, perfect time to leave. So, yeah, thank you to everybody. Yeah. We're heading that way, Mike. Thank you to everybody for coming. If you could please like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Shout out to Quinny. I'll be back on Monday with Harry. We're not changing the Monday game week preview show, it's staying on Monday. Probably at 9:25 hours before the deadline. If anybody had any feedback on our stream yesterday, whether like it was okay that we did a little more closer to the deadline, I don't think it made much of a difference, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. So any feedback, always appreciate. Frankly, feedback on any of the shows is really appreciated. So if you guys want to hit me up on Twitter, I'm at Andrew M. Laird. You can always find me on Discord as well, or just leave comments in any of the videos. Always appreciate feedback. So good or bad, but flattering comments are always really better. Just saying. But thank you, everybody. Have a good weekend, and Forza Midland.